there is no problem, no doubt with what God has ordained for us is glory. But how are we going to enter into that glory? Or how will we be glorified? The secret is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, when God created man, He had glory in view. He created man according to His image, after His own likeness. In other words, what God has in view when He created man is to make man a vessel capable of receiving Him, His own life into Him, that He may be joined to His beloved Son. Why does God create man? Why does God create man? If our understanding of the scripture is correct, we find that in the first creation, it doesn't seem that God has created man such as we are. In the first creation, it seems that the highest creation is the angels, those celestial beings. God created animals and things like that, but it is as if there was no man in the first creation. But after the rebellion of the archangel, and this earth enter into judgment, then we find in Genesis chapter 1, God's Spirit brooded over the face of the deep. It is a picture of the love of God, the warm love of God, brooded over the ruins, cursed, corrupted, empty earth, and bring it back into a habitable place. And it wasn't until the sixth day, and the final, the highest act of His creation, God created man. And God created man all different. Because when He created angels, it doesn't say that He created them in His image. Only when He created man in His image. Why? Because God loved His beloved Son. He said, "It is not good for Him to be alone. I will give Him a helpmeet. He needs companions. He needs brethren. He's so lonely." And because of this, you find God created man. So, when God created man, He has glory in view. To be conformed to the image of His beloved Son. That His Son may be the firstborn among many brethren. But unfortunately, you find the first Adam, the first man, he rejected the tree of life, the way into union in life with God. Instead, he wanted to develop his own self. The result was the fall. We all knew about it. And do you notice that when man sinned, suddenly both Adam and Eve discovered they were naked? Why did they not see they were naked before? They discover themselves as naked, shameful. They need to be covered. And they try to put the fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. I do not know. You know, this is not a scripture. You may take it or leave it. But a scripture, you have to take it. You cannot leave it. I wonder, you know, when God created all these living things, God all clothed them with clothings. When it is cold, you do not need to put a jacket. Now, some people put jacket on little dogs. But actually, you spoil them because they don't need it. God has already clothed them. Now, can you imagine when God created man, he does not clothe them? I have the feeling that when God created man, man is a glorious being. There is a glory around him. That is clothing. Created in the image of God, there's glory there. You do not need other clothing because there's a glory there. Then the glory is their clothing. As if God himself is clothed with glory. But when you sin, the glory disappears, vanishes. And men appear naked. Sin is shameful. The flesh is naked, sinful. Wherever the flesh appears, there is no glory, but shame, nakedness. So I wonder whether that's what happened. And God has to clothe them with skin. Throw a slain animal, which is a type of Christ. We have to be clothed with Christ. If we are not clothed with Christ, we are naked. We cannot appear before God. We are shameful. And brothers and sisters, man lost his hope of glory. Since our forefather sinned, and the whole human race fallen in Adam. In Adam all died. There is no hope of glory. Then, in a sense, is shameful. And because of this, you find people in this world, they refuse to accept the judgment, the sentence of God. Because of sin, they were naked before God. And men try to gain glory for themselves. In wealth, in position, in of power, authority, and all these things. They think that these things become their glory. They will cover their nakedness. But brothers and sisters, these things are vain glory. They are transient. They pass away. They do not come from God. Only that which comes from God is glory. Anything that you are able to attain without find its source in God. Remember, brothers and sisters, this is not glory. This is shame. Man lost the hope of glory. But thank God, one day, God, in His great love, sent His only begotten Son into this wicked world. The Word became flesh. And He lived among us, full of grace and truth. He was tested. He was tempted in all things without sin. He was one man that obeyed God all the time. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In this second man, the hope comes. So you find that our Lord Jesus not only Himself proved to be the perfect man, and there is the glory of the Son of Man, and now you find He is in heaven. A man is in glory now, because he has earned it. Thank God. In Christ, all are made alive. So when we believe in the Lord Jesus, we come into union with Christ. And Christ comes into us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you have Christ in you? All who believe in the Lord Jesus has Christ in them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 says, God has placed us in Christ Jesus. When you believe in the Lord Jesus, the word believe means believe into. When you believe into the Lord Jesus, you are in Christ, and Christ is in you. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other words, this is the foundation of glory. Do not at any time think that aside from the Christ in you, there is any hope for glory. Your only hope of glory is in Christ, not in your flesh. No matter how you adorn it, you dress it, you carve it, you perfume it, it's dead, it's naked, it's ugly, it's shameful, it has to be buried, hidden from sight. As our brother mentioned, we need to have a very clear understanding. God's purpose for us is glory. But where can we find that glory? How are we going to achieve? It is only through Christ Jesus. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But is Christ in you? He is in you. Is there hope of glory? There is hope. But how is the hope become a fact? How is that hope translated into a reality? In other words, the seed is there. How is the seed to be grown into maturity, that we may be conformed to the image of Christ? Let me use an illustration. You remember the tabernacle or the temple. You have the outer court there, and then you have the sanctuary, the holy place, and then behind the holy place, the holiest of all. People can come to the outer court. The priest can enter into the holy place, but only the high priest once a year, with blood and the smoke of incense, to enter behind the veil to make atonement for the nation. And he had to quickly withdraw. In other words, the way to the holiest was not yet open, as the book of Hebrews said. Now, in the holiest of all, there is the ark with the mercy seat, the cherubim, and the glory of God dwelt there. So, in other words, you'll find God dwells in the holiest of all, upon the mercy seat, and Christ is the mercy seat. He is the one who covered the ark. In the ark, there is the two tables of the commandments. In other words, he is the only one who fulfilled the law of God. So, on the basis of righteousness, God can be merciful to us. And there God would meet us. His glory rests upon the mercy seat. And because of this, no one can enter into the holiest of all. Anyone who dared to do that will be smitten to death. Even the two sons of Aaron, when they tried to offer incense with common fire, they were burned to death. God is a holy God. No one can see God. Now, brothers and sisters, you remember when our Lord Jesus died on Calvary's cross, something happened. It is recorded when our Lord Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and committed his spirit to the Father. That was outside Jerusalem. At Golgotha. But within the city, in the temple, you find a veil that separates the holiest of all from the holy place, was rent from top to bottom into two. Now, unfortunately, at that time, in that temple, in the holiest place, it was empty. There was no ark, no mercy seat, no glory of God there. It was empty. But in typology, it shows that God dwells in the holiest of all, and only in the holiest of all. And no one really can see him. But when the veil is rent, then what happens? The glory of God in the holiest place will shine forth and fill the whole house. And you remember in Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of the Hebrews said, "Therefore, brethren, we can approach the throne of God, the throne of grace, the holiest of all, with holy boldness." Why? Because of the blood of our Lord Jesus. And because of the veil that is rent. The veil which is his flesh is rent. So a new and living way has been dedicated to us. Through the veil being rent, which is his flesh. So you find that when our Lord Jesus was on the cross, when he was rent on the cross, the veil was rent. In Hebrews it said, because the veil is rent, therefore we can enter into the holiest of all. Not only enter into the holiest of all, and even dwell there. In other words, we dwell in the presence of God through our Lord Jesus. But putting it another way, we can say, now God, the glory of God, has come out and filled the whole house. So use this as an illustration. You know, here is my body. And within the body is my soul, my personality, me, my thought, my emotion, my will, my volition, me. But within the soul, there is our spirit. God has created us with a spirit and soul and body. A body to communicate with the physical world around us. A soul to communicate with ourselves. And a spirit to communicate with God. So when God created us, he blew, he breathed his breath into the nostril of Adam. But because Adam sinned, on the day that you shall eat that forbidden tree, you shall die. Physically, Adam lived for hundreds of years, longer than all of us. Solically, he lives on and gives birth to sons and daughters, have families, and become a farmer. But on the day that he ate that forbidden fruit, his spirit died. It doesn't mean that he does not have that spirit as an organ anymore. It means that that spirit has lost its function. Cannot communicate with God the Spirit anymore. There is the cessation of communication with its proper environment. The proper environment of our spirit is God. But the communication is cut. That is dead. Dead in sins and transgressions. That's the reason why we need to be born again. Born from above. He that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. What does it mean? It means that he that is born of the Holy Spirit is the new spirit, the human spirit. The Holy Spirit will come into our dead spirit and quicken it into life and make it new. The communication with God is renewed and we cry out, Abba, Father. Thank God the Holy Spirit came and dwelt in our spirit. He has found a resting place. So here you find Christ in you. The Holy Spirit in you is Christ in you. It is the Father in you. Because you find the Lord Jesus and we will come to you and dwell in you. The triune God has come and take up his dwelling place in our spirit. Oh, brothers and sisters, the glory of God feel within us. There is glory within us. Do you know that? Do you sense that? when you first believe in the Lord Jesus, do you sense a peace, an unspeakable joy deep down within you? You do not mind what happened to you at that time. Nothing can take away that glory within you. Isn't that true? Remember, the seed of glory is there in you. But unfortunately, there is a veil there. There is a veil there. And the veil is our flesh. And because our flesh is still not rent, you know, our Lord Jesus, His body was rent. His flesh was rent. And He opened for us a new and living way. In other words, He opened a way for us. Here's a way for us. But it is a way dedicated to us. We have to go the same way. If you do not go that way, the glory of God will be confined, imprisoned in your spirit. It will not be able to shine forth and transform you from glory to glory according to His image. So our problem is here. Why is it that the work of transformation is not going on? Now, what is transformation? To put it in a very simple way, transformation is done in our soul. Our spirit has already been reborn, and the glory of God is already there. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But Christ has to come out and dwell in your heart. Christ has to fill your soul. That your emotion is expressing the emotion of Christ, not your emotion. That your thought is not expressing you, it will be expressing Christ. The mind of Christ in you. And even your will not express your own will, but your will is so surrendered to God that it expresses His will. That is transformation. That is transforming from glory to glory. And brothers and sisters, this is a work that is going on from the day, the moment you are born again. To be born again is not the end of your Christian life. It is the beginning. The seed is there now. Now it needs to grow. How can the life of Christ fill your soul? There is only one way. Your flesh, that is what is not of the Spirit. You know, when man sinned and his spirit dead, when you come to Genesis 6, you find God said, man has become flesh. There is no hope. My spirit will not strive with them anymore. Brothers and sisters, spiritually speaking, even though we have Christ in us, but if we still try to live by our Adamic, natural, old life, that is a veil. that imprison the glory of Christ to shine into our soul. How our Lord Jesus feels himself strengthened within us. Oh, how he wants to glorify us. But he cannot, because our flesh is so strong. The outward man has to be broken for that inward man to come forth. What is our outward man? Basically, our soul, our self-life. Me, my thought, my will, my desire. This is what I want. This is what I like. This is what I do not like. I do not agree with you. This is my opinion. This is my right. Brothers and sisters, that flesh has to be rent. You know, for the flesh to be rent is painful. Suffering is involved. Sometimes people said, we in this country, Christians, have such a good environment. We do not suffer. We find that people in other countries, oh, how they suffer for the Lord's sake. But we do not suffer. And because we do not suffer, we do not grow. And some people even pray that God will send some sufferings to this country. But brothers and sisters, remember one thing. Those awful sufferings is nothing when it compares to the rending of the flesh. It tears you apart. You do not like it. No one does not love his body, his flesh. We want to hold on to ourselves, even though we want Christ to fill us. And yet we hold on to ourselves. You cannot have both. The earthen vessel has to be cracked and broken for the radiancy of the treasure in it to shine forth. The cross has to do its work in our life. Oh, brothers and sisters, the cross is not just an objective cross that was erected on that little hill outside of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago where Christ was crucified. Thank God that cross is the foundation, the power, the salvation for us to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him. Without that cross, we will not have that power. We will not have that basis even to deny ourselves and take up our cross and to follow him. We cannot do it. His cross bears us so that we may bear our cross. But remember, that cross has to be implanted within us too. Not just outside for you to look at, but it has to be implanted within you. The veil has to be rent. The way has been opened. The Lord has opened it. And it is dedicated for us. Are we going through it? Are we willing to have our outward man broken? Paul said, our outward man is decayed moment by moment, but the inward man is renewed day by day. When we think of the affliction, light affliction we are going through to obtain the eternal weight of glory, that is nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, to be glorified is the will of God. But we need to take up that cross. We need to allow that cross to work in our lives. Put it this way, in the measure of the brokenness of the outward man will be the measure of the degree of being glorified. How much you are conformed to the image of God's beloved Son depends on how much you are willing to let your outward man be broken. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we all looking on the glory of the Lord with unveiled face are transformed according to the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Lord the Spirit. Here you find we are all looking on the glory of the Lord with unveiled face. That unveiled face is nothing but a heart that is turned to the Lord. Because if you read the preceding verses, for instance, in verse 13, 15. But unto this day when Moses read, the veil lies upon their heart. But when he shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all looking on the glory of the Lord with unveiled face. Dear brothers and sisters, in this process of transformation, our heart has much to do with it. You know, our heart is, we are not talking about the physical heart. Now, the physical heart is the center of our physical being. But we are talking about the spiritual heart. It is the center of our spiritual being. And you find in Proverbs it is said, guard your heart, keep your heart above all things, because out of it are the issues of life. Everything comes from the heart. Comes from the heart, goes into the heart. So our heart is very important. But unfortunately, we do not know our heart. Our heart is deceitful above all things. Who knows it? You don't know it. Other people don't know it. Nobody knows it, but God knows it. So the important thing is, in this process of transformation, we need to turn our heart to the Lord. Just like the psalmist said, examine my heart, try my reins, to see if there is any weakness in me. How we daily need to turn our heart to the Lord. The heart is the place of love, of affection. How we need to turn our hearts to the Lord. And as we turn our hearts to the Lord, we see Him. We see the glory of the Lord. You know what happened? Then you see all the ugliness in your heart. You do not see your ugliness if you are in darkness. But when you turn your heart to the Lord, you look at the glory of the Lord. Oh, how glorious He is. His character. Then immediately He strikes you dead. You find your flesh is all corrupted. Your best thought need to be washed by the blood. As John Bunyan said, even our tears need to be washed with the blood. Brothers and sisters, that is the way to glory. We have a responsibility. Our responsibility is to turn our hearts to the Lord. As we turn our hearts to the Lord, then light will shine upon our heart and will disclose all that is there. And brothers and sisters, it is only there and then how you desire to see your flesh broken. But remember, this is not your work. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. Transformation is not your work. Only the Holy Spirit can transform you. Only the Holy Spirit can conform you to the image of Christ. He is the power of God. He will make everything that is Christ, that Christ has accomplished on the cross, real, living to you. He is the Spirit of glory. He does the work. So it is said, God, the Lord, the Spirit. Not by you. But what you do is, you need to turn your heart to Him. Love Him. And He will shine upon you. The glory of the Lord will shine upon your heart and reveal all the ugliness, the hidden things in your heart. And you will begin to abhor yourself. And you hope, how you long that this flesh will die, will be delivered to death. And who will do it? The Holy Spirit will do it. He will do it. On the one hand, you will find He will rend the veil upon your heart. On the other hand, He will fill your heart with Christ. And that's the reason why Paul, in his prayer, second prayer, in the letter to the Ephesians, said that in order that He may give you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power by His Spirit in the inner man, that the Christ may dwell through faith in your hearts, being rooted and founded in love, in order that you may be fully able to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of the Christ which surpasses knowledge, that he may be filled even to all the fullness of God. it all begins in the heart. So there you find the veil is rent, and the glory of the Lord fills us all. And it touches the body too. One day, when he shall return, in Philippians chapter 3, you'll find that who shall transform our body of humiliation into conformity to his body of glory, according to the working of the power which he has given to subdue all things to himself. This is the time that we receive our sonship. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is the purpose of God concerning you. This is what Christ has done for you. This is something that the Holy Spirit is eager to work into your life. Will we cooperate? Now we are only touching one area of our glory. There is another area there. You know, our glory is both inward and outward. If you read the Word of God, you'll find there is a glory that God has prepared for his people. There is a glory that one day he will lead many sons. Our Lord Jesus will lead many sons into that glory. There is a glory that is still in the future. There is a realm there called glory. But brothers and sisters, before you can enter into that glory, glory has to enter into you first. Unless you are glorified, you are not able to enter into glory. Why? Because you cannot stand it. As people said, if a person is not saved and go to heaven, he will feel so uncomfortable because there is no casino, there is no theater, dancing hall, and all these things. He wants to get out quick. Brothers and sisters, today is the time of being transformed. The Holy Spirit is doing this work today. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he will transform you from glory to glory according to his image by the Lord, the Spirit. And when this work goes on, till the time he comes, even this physical body, the body of humiliation. Isn't this the body of humiliation? So weak, so open to sickness, to death, it's humiliating. But even this body of humiliation will be changed into the body of glory. And then we will be co-heirs with Christ. The Bible used many different ways to express the glory that is waiting for us. As Peter said, prepared for us, ready for us. Inheritance. what we experience today is just a pledge, a little bit. But there is a full inheritance before us. Kingdom. Eternal kingdom. Crowned. Throne. Marriage feast. The joy of the Lord. That eternal union with Christ in God. Oh, brothers and sisters, glory belongs to God. But He wants us to share all the glory that we can share with His beloved Son. Do you not think that because of this, how we need to pursue after the Lord? Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, what do you see in us that even before the foundation of the world, thou hast predetermined that we shall enter into glory? O Lord, how we praise and thank thee that for this thou art willing to come into this wretched world and died for us. Redeem us that we may be justified and even glorified. O Holy Spirit of God, how we pray, praise and thank thee that thou dost dwell in us today. However much we may grieve thee, thou wilt not leave us until thy work is done in bringing us to glory. Oh, how we praise and thank thee. We worship thee. Oh, may thy love touch our hearts that we may not be complacent, careless. Oh, but Lord, we want to follow thee all the way. From Calvary to glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus.